Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Sebastian Della Ho, and here's what he briefly has to say. Hola, I don't check these messages very often. I'm eager to join in the video blogging world. Keep posting and boycott Mexican beer. Well, Sebastian, thanks for the donation. I thought I'd use it to cover the latest man in my God Among MGTOW series. I've been wrestling with acid reflux since about 2015. And back in the middle of 2017, I found what I thought to be the solution. I threw all grains and most carbohydrates out of my diet. For 3.5 years, my symptoms were completely under control, until earlier this year, when they started coming back when I ate chicken and seeds. That's when I figured out that my alkaline diet was neutralizing the acid in my stomach, but that it wasn't working anymore. I went to the health food store and someone suggested that I try something called Canadian Bitters. About a week ago, I started using it, and so far it's changed my life yet again. My reflux is once again gone. I did some research to find out what this stuff was, and apparently Canadian Bitters is based on Swedish Bitters, a solution created by someone named Theophrastus von Hohenheim, better known as Paracelsus. He was a Swiss-born alchemist during the time of the German Renaissance. He's also the godfather of toxicology. So I looked him up, secretly hoping that he never married and had gone his own way. And lo and behold, that was the case. So why had I never heard of him before, and the doctors that I went to kept telling me that my acid production was way too high, and that I needed to reduce it using their pills and an alkaline diet. Apparently he was also idolized by the Nazi party, so maybe that's why his ideas were written off. But his Bitters formula is designed to get you to produce enough of your own acid and other digestive juices so you can digest your food properly. Pretty much every civilization since the ancient Egyptians and Judaism have been using bitter foods as ingredients to aid in digestion. I just finished a meal and took 10 drops of bitters about 15 minutes beforehand, and I didn't have any discomfort as my body produces enough juices of its own to digest it. Paracelsus was a rebel doctor and alchemist and believed that purging and bloodletting, which is a practice thought to restore balance in the four bodily humors, was outmoded. Instead, he promoted empirical medical work using chemistry and anatomy to help people. He believed that it was the moral duty of a physician to help his patients. He would probably be disgusted by today's modern medical system. 500 years ago, he was boosting acid production and helping patients with reflux. Yet today's doctors lower it, causing many problems. Swedish bitters work like magic, and I can't explain to you how pissed off I am at today's medical system, which was selling me pills instead of hearing about this guy from a doctor. I cry tears of anger. I'll discuss Paracelsus and his contributions to theology, medicine, humanity, chemistry, and even magic in just a moment. But let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Chris Whalen. He's a U.S. business tax expert serving clients in North America and abroad. The first consultation is always free, just like men going their own way. He's also a fellow MGTOW and will keep your pills red, but brings your books back to black. Reach out to Chris Whalen, CPA, today for all your personal and business accounting needs, before taking care of your sexual needs. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to modern medicine making you sicker and sicker clown world show. The ability to spread information that helped Paracelsus learn the knowledge he did was thanks to another MGTOW, Johann Gutenberg, the inventor of the printing press. As Tesla always said, no truly great invention comes from a married man. The way we spread knowledge through books had not been disrupted until the internet about 30 years ago. Anyone 30 years of age or under today has no idea what it was like before when you had to spend tons of time in the library, searching for knowledge blindly through thousands of books. As for Paracelsus, he followed in his father's footsteps and decided to study medicine. His father also taught chemistry theory because he grew up near a mining town and learned how to refine metals. So the combination of learning chemistry and medicine worked out in his favor. He spent his youth wandering around Europe and went to 5 different universities in 5 years, and kept running into dumb professors. According to him, a doctor must seek out old wives' remedies instead of learning about medicine in a university, and not connecting healing directly to patients. After that, he spent his entire life traveling around, researching, practicing medicine, and teaching. There was no time for women. Paracelsus is also a pseudonym he created, and no one knows exactly why. The name Celsus was a Roman doctor, and the theory is that Paracelsus put para, which means better than or before Celsus, and that he might have been full of himself. But the theory is not confirmed. If it were true, his ego must have been massive. He also connected chemistry and medicine, which was something that the Arab culture already had for their basis of medicine. But he made such ideas popular in Europe. He was also an independent thinker, making enemies and insulted his colleagues, and was amazed at how many asses European universities could produce each year. So the problem of useless degrees and knowledge is not something that we're dealing with today only, but it's been going on forever. He was a self-taught Renaissance man because he didn't get a degree from any of these schools, but he met many great people that he learned from along the way. His rebellious streak also extended to how he practiced medicine. He spoke in German, the common language, when discussing medicine, instead of Latin, which he called obscure, and said that doctors were using it so they could only seem intelligent, to cover the emptiness of the medicine that they did back then, and how little they actually knew. Today, I think that doctors use big words to hide what they do know with regards to real treatments and diagnoses, so they can sound smart and sell you some expensive surgery or treatment that you don't need. Paracelsus was also known as the Martin Luther of medicine, and his enemies tried banning his books, but they didn't succeed, and he wrote a treatise on syphilis and other pamphlets. He was so good at what he did that kings, princes, and generals would hire him to treat their conditions, and because he was religious, he believed that the moral structure of the doctor is more important than his skills. Ask yourself, how many moral doctors do you run into these days that actually want to help you instead of just pushing you pills? The relationship between the doctor and patient is important. That's why I think he was killed at the young age of 47 by his competition. I can't figure out anywhere how he died, but there must have been some cabal of Latin-speaking doctors back then that wanted to keep their bleeding monopoly, getting paid to suck the blood and money out of you. He also postulated that the mind itself can cause health problems. My reflux, for example, is induced by stress. My mind is busy thinking and I'm usually stressed out, and this interferes with digestion. With regards to being an early pioneer in the field of pharmacy, he believed that chemicals in the body influence disease. Hence, if you take the right quantity of one substance, it may fix an imbalance inside of your body. Doctors back then believed if you had too much phlegm or blood, that if they removed that liquid from your body, it would bring you into balance once more. It's absolutely ridiculous. They were attacking Paracelsus for using folk medicine while they were practicing quackery themselves. Paracelsus said that a doctor must be a traveler for knowledge as experience, going around and gathering ideas by traveling around and researching for what works and what will do the trick. I agree with old folk remedies because when you're sick and from Eastern Europe, your mother will often give you flat ginger ale and she'll first stir all the carbonated balls out of it when you have a sore throat. Ginger is good for you, but not necessarily all the sugar in a pop can. You can also dip a sock or small rag in very high-proof alcohol, like plum brandy, and then wrap it around your neck. Then cover it with another rag to make sure you don't get liquor all over your bedsheets. Go to sleep and then wake up the next morning, and usually your sore throat will be completely gone. Paracelsus also said that natural extracts were too weak in many cases and wanted people to use inorganic chemicals to treat disease. He used mercuric salts and arsenic salts for syphilis. That treatment was used until the early 20th century when we developed chemotherapy. But people were oftentimes scared of these remedies because they were toxic and had many side effects. He said that the dose makes the poison or medicine, that in small amounts they're usually safe, but in large medicinal doses they are deadly. This is the foundation of toxicology, and he said that drinking too much water can be deadly to humans too. He was the one that appears to have pioneered this concept. One glass of alcohol won't usually hurt people, but drinking a whole bottle of wine quickly will give you alcohol poisoning. These ideas were novel back in 1527, but today they're commonplace. He also theorized that diseases usually stick around in certain organs. He tried to create targeted drugs and believed in the inorganic chemical basis of the body, so the chemicals should affect it, but he was wrong about the inorganic nature of the human body. No one had tools to do proper science back then, and Europeans were just figuring things out, and learning about the basis of medicine through folklore, different compounds, and hypothesizing about what it all meant. Today I have my own theory, where I've observed that intense emotions, tungsten light at 3200 degrees Kelvin, and a body of water nearby, up a pathway of consciousness that allows you to see a future event through a past dream. I don't know how it works, but I know that it does work. It's probably science that we just don't understand yet. As for Paracelsus, his untimely death at the age of 47 doesn't exactly make him the perfect poster child of what a healthy person should be. Being a rebel alchemist and doctor, he probably poisoned himself without even knowing it, just like Tesla used to radiate himself with x-rays when he invented the x-ray machine, around the same time as Rangan, believing that they were healthy for you. Maybe he irradiated his junk and that's why he was single for most of his life. Also, times were really bad when Paracelsus died and he was a semi-serf, and the local church authorities owned his possessions when he did die. That's what feudalism is all about. You're basically property of your lord. but thank God for the German Renaissance and eventual liberty. I owe great thanks to a fellow MGTOW that has greatly improved the quality of my own life. I might even celebrate this year by loading up tons of Swedish bitters during Christmas for the next holiday season, and eating half a potato for the first time in almost 5 years, and be able to digest it. It doesn't sound like something to get excited about, but the last time I ate one of those, I had silent reflux for almost a couple of weeks. I also don't blame him for trying to invent a name for himself. His full real name was Philippus Areolus Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim. It sounds like an important name, but as I mentioned, he was just a lowly peasant. I know that making videos like this one won't really get as many views as many of the earlier ones I did in my God Among MGTOW series, but I thought it was important to highlight this guy. He would make an excellent addition to a MGTOW Hall of Fame museum one day, if someone ever starts one. As for reflux, I found a doctor online that says that there are three things you should try to help you. The first thing is to take apple cider vinegar, which is a natural acid, before meals. The second is to take Swedish bitters to stimulate your own acid production. That usually works best if your reflux is stress-related. When Paracelsus was alive, I bet you most reflux was caused by the stress of constant death looming around every corner. But if you can't coax your body to produce its own acid, then the last thing you could try is betaine hydrochloride. I'm not a doctor, so talk to yours before taking any of this stuff. But if your doctor says you don't have enough acid, which is rarely the case, ask him to do a test. They can't usually do tests like that, so they're normally guessing. Don't leave your health to guesswork by a man that has the conflict of interest to sell you pills. Paracelsus would certainly question the morality of today's physicians. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Sebastian for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Sebastian doesn't want you to smash down Mexican beer and boycott it because it will give you heartburn. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps modern medicine that wants to sell you a profitable treatment instead of a less profitable cure away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.